All right, I said we'd be turning back to Psalms this afternoon, chapter 46. Again, hope that this has been a blessing to us. It has been to me. And I've been amazed, just really have been amazed, since we started preaching this out of the 46th Psalm, how many times it's been referenced over the last few months. I hear it all the time. You see it on Facebook, people referring to it, and in church services, and it's just, it's been amazing. But it's a beautiful Psalm, it is very calming to my soul, and I trust that it is to yours. We are not going to read the whole Psalm again this afternoon, but we are going to, we'll just begin with verse 6. The heathen raged. It's not very calming in a way, but it is to us. As we go back again to the second Psalm, they were raging there. Why did the heathen rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing, right? So, but God is, He is in control. But we have to understand that He is also in control of, again, the evil as well as the good. Now, that's where we part company with most people, even some sovereign gracers that call themselves sovereign grace anyway. God doesn't, he couldn't do anything evil. You know, again, why does good things happen or bad things happen to good people, right? Well, it's because of sin. I can tell them that right quick. There's no mystery to that, is there? But the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. What a thought that is. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of refuge. Right? The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. And the desolations that He's talking about here, I believe, are good desolations. It's the ceasing of wars. Oh, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, right? But God can speak, and that's all He has to do, is just speak. And He makes desolations in the earth. All of this evil stops. Deliver us from what?
Evil.
Temptations and from evils. He can deliver us, and He does deliver us from evils. But He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. And then be still and know that I am God. And then there's an explanation after that. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. What I want us to consider, and we're going to take this probably in three parts. Being exalted among the heathen, to being God being exalted in the earth. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that's happening, does it? But it is. And it is going to be, of course, in a way, in the future, that it probably never has been in the past. But God is going to be exalted. He must be exalted among the heathen. Among the heathen. Now, that's what I want us to think about this morning. In order to really understand that exaltation of God among the heathen, you have to understand something about the heathen. What is a heathen? First of all, what does it mean to be exalted? Well, in my 1828 dictionary, it says to raise high, to elevate. Just to elevate in power, in wealth, in rank, in dignity. And to elevate in estimation, say that again, to elevate in estimation. Estimation. In other words, what you think of someone. And praise and to magnify, to elevate in praise, to elevate in magnification. But who is he going to be exalted among? The heathen? Well, let's see what the dictionary says anyway about the heathen. Now, again, when JT and I were growing up, we used to hear that every once in a while, you little heathens. When our parents would get really mad at us or something, I think especially mother, she'd use that term, you little heathens. That's when we was really being, you know, obnoxious and, you know, just giving a hard time. But a heathen, number one, is a pagan. Biblically speaking, it's a Gentile. It's an idol worshiper, or one that's unacquainted with the true God. Also, one that's rude, illiterate, a barbarous people. We're not talking about a haircut type barbarous, but barbarians. Wild, uncivilized, savage, cruel. And the last word that the dictionary was using was the word rapacious. Now, I know we all know what that means, right? Well, we could describe it in a lot of ways, but the word rapacious is where we get our word rape. Same root. To take with violence, to force upon someone something that is unwanted, undesirable. But all this is a dictionary description of a heathen. As far as the Bible is concerned, we can go back to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 2, and we have a very good biblical description that fits the dictionary's definition or description in the second chapter of Ephesians. Now, once again, I said we was going to take this in three parts. What we're looking at today is the depravity of the heathen, the nature of the heathen. We're also going to look at how that God bows down the heathen, makes the heathen to bow down. And then we're going to look at how God exalts himself among the heathen in salvation. But here's who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the heathens. And what it really comes down to is, if God can manage the heathen, he manages all things. If a man's ways please the Lord, then what? He makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Well, if he can do that for us, think he can do that with himself? For all men are at enmity with God, right? The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject unto the law of God, neither indeed can it be, except that God change it, right? Except God be exalted in him. But in the second chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called circumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. But that's not the worst of it, is it? It says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. And then listen to this. Having what? No hope. And without God in the world. Pagan. Gentile, right? Idol worshiper. Unacquainted with the true God. Now here's the other side of it, of course, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, again, that scripture right there, if we didn't have any other scripture in the whole of scripture, that would, to me, do away with any idea of a separation between Israel and the church. Right? I don't see how you can see it any other way. It's just as plain as it can be. But that's another point for right now. Right now, how would we classify the heathen then? He is totally, absolutely against God in everything that he thinks, everything that he does. It's all against God. And it is epitomized in idol worship. Now, when you get right down to, biblically speaking, when it talks about the heathen, it's talking about an idol worshiper. Now, what is the first commandment? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? There's nothing that God abhors more than an idol worshiper. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give unto another. Now what this kind of says to me is, first, if we are not worshiping God in spirit and in truth, then we're an idol worshiper. It's just that simple. And you cannot please God in any form or fashion as an idol worshiper. Well, let's look at some scriptures. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. In verse 14 it says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed. Now get this one right here. They transgressed very much after all the abominations of who? Of the heathen. And polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. It was after the heathens. Now here's the... isn't this amazing to you? Doesn't this just blow your mind, so to speak, that here's the people that God had been dealing with for centuries. And they knew all the history of the nation. They had the Word of God. And yet here is the description that is given of them. All the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen. And by the way, we were talking about the sons of God going in after the daughters of men. One of the things that Nehemiah and Ezra found when they came back, what did they find? They had intermarried. And how, wow, would God really require this, that they separate from those wives and those children? But they did. And it was necessary that they do that. That's what got them into trouble again, was whenever they started mingling with those that God had commanded that they should not do that. The heathen. Sorry? Yeah. Had to cast her out with her son. Yeah. That's where people get a bad picture of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, people. God actually requires more of us than we're willing to admit. We better quit trying to figure out how little God requires and try to figure out how much God requires. All we have to do is look at the Lord Jesus and His crucifixion, and we can see how much God requires. We can understand how much God requires. But here we're in this thing about the heathen. In Ezra, chapter 6 of Ezra, that's the next book over from 2 Corinthians, in case you're looking. 2 Chronicles, what did I say? Oh, sorry, 2 Chronicles, yeah, it's a little further back than 2 Corinthians. So. Ezra chapter 6, again in verse 21, and the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the who? Of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joys, for the Lord had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. But it was those that had separated themselves from the heathen. Now, actually, what are we told to do? What does the Apostle Paul tell us to do? Yeah, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. But now, what's implied in that from a negative standpoint is that if we do not separate ourselves, then God will not be our God and we will not be His people. The heathen. There is a distinct line of demarcation, if you will, between God's people and the heathen. And folks, there really isn't but two classifications, is there? There is the godly and the ungodly. There's the godly and the heathen. Well, you're being holier than thou. Well, if I am, it's because God has made us that way. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. Folks, there's not anybody, again, that knows more about his own sinful deeds than a true child of God. But still, he has a new heart. We talked about that heart this morning being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the question is asked rhetorically, who can know it? But God does know it. And he has given us a new heart. And folks, the sins that we sin as God's people, they better be fleshly sins. It better be through the weakness of the flesh, not the weakness of the spirit. And there is a difference. We understand. We better than anybody. In fact, we're the only ones that really understand what sin is all about. We're the only ones that understand with the Apostle Paul, I know that within me, that is, within my flesh. Now, he didn't say within his spirit. In fact, he said just the opposite as far as the spirit is concerned. So I, with my mind, serve what? The law of God. But with the flesh? The law of sin. Why? Because the flesh is the flesh. It hasn't changed. God hasn't changed it yet. One day he's going to. Sir? Yeah, it's we. But by faith, what do? We overcome the world. Now, what? We deny ourselves. But folks, God still hates sin. And it doesn't matter whether it is in the unsaved or the saved. In fact, I think he probably hates it in the saved more than he hates it in the unsaved. Because he chastises the saved. Right? But he loves us in that. Folks, he doesn't love heathenism. It is an abomination to him. Now again, I'm trying to paint this picture so we can fully appreciate God being exalted in the heathen. What a marvelous thing it is that God could be exalted in the heathen. If you're getting my drift, it's amazing. It just, to me, it is an amazing thing. In the 106th Psalm, pass it up here. Verse 34, the 106th Psalm, said, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Now, folks, abortion is an abomination in our minds, right? And we wonder, how in the world can anyone, especially a mother, how can they murder their own little children? Well, folks, it's not a bit different than the heathen. You know what they are that's doing this? They're heathens. I mean, they are heathens. Call them whatever they want to. They're heathens in the worst sense of the word. God is going to be exalted among the heathen? Well, we better be glad, hadn't we, that God was determined, is determined, to be exalted among the heathen. But here we're getting a picture of who the heathen really are. Isaiah chapter 49, in verse 5, it says, "And now saith the Lord that formed me," and this "me," he's talking about Jesus here. "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to who? That thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth." Now, it's really not a, well, I don't really want to say it's not a marvel, but it's nothing new, is it, that God be exalted among the heathen? Who did it start with? It started with Adam and Eve in the garden, didn't it? Absolutely. There wasn't any Jews until, really, Jacob, yeah, right. Well, I don't know that Abraham would fall. technically, because it wasn't until Jacob came along that God changed his name to Israel. How man makes things out of God that he isn't, right? It just blows your mind sometimes. But nevertheless, what we're driving at today is how bad are the heathens? Oh, those people are terrible. Those people that burn their children, they're just terrible. Those people that do abortions, they're just horrible. I would never do that. Uh-oh. You better watch it. There's not a single solitary soul upon the earth that's any different than any other soul upon the earth when it comes to sin. Just because God has not allowed you or has actually kept you from those type of sins doesn't make it you. That's not the real you, or it wasn't you in the beginning, at least, was it? Because if God would just let you alone, you would be as bad or worse. For we have both proved, right? Romans chapter 3, verse 9, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both. What's the next two terms there? Are the Jews included in this, Bruce? Yeah. We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Now, what does it mean to be under sin? That's right. Rules entirely, completely, or as the Apostle Paul would say through to Timothy, who are taken captive of him, how easily? At his will. Oh, well, I Satan couldn't take me that way. Listen, if he could take Judas Iscariot and do with him what he did, he could do that with anybody outside of the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. Who do we think we are? Are we so lifted up in the pride of our heart that we think that we are so pious that God, we don't need God? We have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Oh, well, let's give an invitation and let's get people to seek God, right? They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, Paul is going to describe us without Christ. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know who he's just described? The heathen. But who fits into that category? For all have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. Psalm 135. Verse 15. He says, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are what? Are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. They that make them are like unto them. The work of men's hands. I'm afraid, again, that's what's happened to the church. There's too many man-made Christians. They have ears, but they can't hear. Isn't that what Jesus said? Why do you not understand my speech? It's because you can't hear me. You have ears, but you can't hear. They have mouths, but they speak not, eyes, but they see not. And every one, they that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. They're abomination to God, because he only is worthy, both as a creator and as a savior. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 7, he says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as who? As the heathen do." Now look at this. "For they think that they shall be heard for what?" Why reason, Lord? Why would God hear you? Oh, because we were speaking much. Now what this reminds you, of course, is, or does to me, the first thing it brings to my mind is all those priests of Baal there on Mount Carmel when Elijah was contending with them. And what did they do? Oh my goodness. They were hollering and jumping up on the altar and cutting themselves and making all kinds of commotions there. And Elijah's over there mocking them, wasn't he? Said, maybe they're asleep.
Yeah.
Well, that was mean and cruel of Elijah. He shouldn't have done that, should he? Yeah, for their religion. And it's, if he had been nicer, maybe he would have won them. But he wasn't trying to win them. In fact, I think he killed them, didn't he? He killed them. But here it is. "Vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now, it reminds me again of all these prayer letters, you know, that run going around. You know, you got to pass them on, because if you do, you can have a blessing, right? And if you don't, you're going to be cursed. You're going to have a curse. Well, who said that? You see, that's heathenish, people. I'm sorry. Sometimes it gets hard. The truth gets hard. But it is true. And, you know, we want to be nice. Vance Havner talked about Alexander White. Said Alexander White in his latter days got to thinking that maybe he ought to start preaching on gentler themes. Huh? But he said he prayed about it, and it seemed like the Lord said, "No, keep on. Keep on." He said, "Because there's not many that will do it. And you hadn't got much time left anyway, so." Well, you know, that's kind of the way it is, though, you know. There's not many that will do it. And I tell you what, you can sure get lambasted for doing it, too. If you don't, you need to preach on these gentler themes. Well, what those gentler themes are is the same thing that the Apostle Paul talks about in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. That's what tickles people's ears. Same thing that Isaiah speaks of in the 30th chapter of Isaiah. "Preach unto us smooth things," right? That's those gentler themes. People don't need gentler themes. What they need is for God to bear down upon them in the conviction of the Holy Ghost and show them what sin really is all about. In fact, it's to show them that they're heathens. Exceeding sinful, that sin may become exceeding sinful. 2 Kings chapter 16, and we'll hurry through these right quick. I think we've about made our point. 2 Kings 16, verse 3, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. Now, who is he talking about? Lo and behold, it's Ahaz. He was doing exactly the same thing as the heathen, which was an abomination to God. Chapter 17, verse 8, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. Not the statutes of God, but the statutes of the heathen. Whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fence cities. They thought they were secret anyway, didn't they? And they set them up images and groves, and every high hill, and under every green tree. Now, what was going on in those groves and in those places up on the hills? They were actually practicing prostitution there in the name of religion. And then we wonder, how can people today think that they can do all this evil and be Christians? But of course, Jeremiah says their thought was that we are delivered to do all these evil. Isn't that what they're preaching today? Exactly what they're preaching today? Unconditional love. God loves you unconditionally. And yet JT just read this morning where he's going to reward every man according to what? According to his ways. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. And they served idols whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Now, again, to provoke the Lord to anger. Now, the Apostle Paul asked this question, are we stronger than he? Do they think they were stronger than God? Do people today think they're stronger than God? I don't know. Verse 15, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he has testified against them, and they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And finally, in chapter 21, begin there at verse 2, I guess. And he, Manasseh, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. You notice that in every one of these, he reminds them that God had cast them out. But what were they doing? They were bringing them back in. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. But I will be exalted among the heathen and in the earth. How great is our God? We'll begin to see that more next Lord's Day, if you be willing. We'll see how that God makes the heathen to bow down. Doesn't matter how mighty best example of all is who? Old Nebuchadnezzar.